Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Jane Burkhart from Starboard Vacations. As a preferred Sandals Beaches agency, our professional travel planning services are free to our clients. We can help find the best Sandals or Beaches resort that fits your budget. Starboard Vacations, calls 662-429-1000.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio this afternoon. Beautiful Oak Grove, Mississippi. And the opening segment of the show every day is sponsored, of course, by our wonderful friends at Dickie's Barbecue Pit and Fuzzy's Tacos. I don't know which place we like the most, but we enjoy eating at both, don't we, Kevin?
I'll be at Fuzzy's tonight, actually. Looking forward to that. Yep, trivia tonight at 7.
Are they still letting you in, even after the arrest?
Bob, we have... Now, that is not for public information.
I'm sorry. I thought that was...
I am following the law, Bob. I'm doing everything they ask me to do.
Okay. Is that ankle break...
It's still working. I just got new batteries in it, yeah.
Steve Cotton does the play-by-play for... Marshall University. He's about to be on the radio show. Also, go hear from some pitchers today. Graydon Harris from Southern Miss Baseball. Kerry Green from Southern Miss Softball. Also going to let you know about the football signing. 67, we understand. Kids announced as they're holding a press conference right now regarding that. But 67 signees on the new football team. And that's the new world that we live in. Steve Cotton does play-by-play, as we said, for Marshall University. Golden Eagles are in West Virginia to take on the Thundering Herd tonight. Marshall 14-8 on the year, having a good year, 6-4 in the league. Golden Eagles 12-12, 6-6. Steve, welcome back. Always a pleasure to have you on the Eagle Hour. And tell us about this Marshall basketball team. Looks like to me a 14-8 record, a pretty good year going on.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of a roller coaster in there. Fortunately, we scheduled this game for indoors today. We've had some snowfall. The Golden Eagles have had to deal with that to and from the arena for their practice last night and their shoot-around this morning. But, in fact, Marshall's closed school today. But the roads were slick this morning. They're back to normal and should have no effect on the crowd tonight. Marshall, when it is shooting the ball well, is really, really tough. I'm sure a lot of folks in your neighborhood caught the news a couple of weeks ago when Marshall hit 26 three-point shots, shattering the Sun Belt record, the Marshall record against ULM, and it's a deep team. In fact, you hit 26 threes, the conference record, and then some. The old record by Troy was 23. Marshall starters hit 12 of those. The guys off the bench hit 14. You have six different guys on this team who have scored 20 or more points in a different game this year. You have four guys who have made as many as six or more threes in a game. So you're not exactly sure who might have the hot hand on a given game.
So do we just take for granted the fact, Steve, that when you guys lose a game, which isn't very often, it's because you're simply not hitting the three balls?
That's been a lot of it, although you can wring your hands and sing the blues on a couple of Marshall's conference games. It was free throws at the end of the game when Marshall had leads late against Coastal Carolina here, against Texas State last week in San Marcos, and missed free throws at the end, missed some front ends of one and ones, and lost the late leads, or else Marshall could easily have an 8-2 record in Sun Belt play instead of the 6-4 that it stands at right now.
Well, Southern Miss does not shoot the three ball very well. They've had to try to work the perimeter a little bit, inside the perimeter a little bit and try to work inside, which is something I think the three ball has forever changed college basketball. But Southern Miss is going to have to play some old school here in order to win it inside.
And that's interesting as well, because Marshall's inside game has a couple of tweaks in there, including 7 foot, 4 inch grad transfer center Matt Van Coleman, who, as long as he stays out of foul trouble, changes things just by being there. And, you know, he's not a rail thin guy, but he's not real thick either. But at 7'4", you stand there, you put your hands in the air, and it changes things. And you have another guy, Eric Harding, is 6'10" tall, and he can come in and battle. He's got a little more beef on him. So Marshall has been able to hold its own against the big teams, even though Marshall is more perimeter-oriented, at least on offense. And that is another thing we're going to look at. Now, one thing I can tell you that Marshall coach Cornelius Jackson has been talking a lot about with the media and with his team this week is that the Herds had some issues getting into foul trouble. And Southern Miss draws a lot of fouls, led by Tyler Weeks, of course. You know that better than I do. And the Herd is cognizant of not having to, not sending him and the rest of the Golden Eagles to the line a lot, if at all possible, which also then potentially gets Marshall, if guys are in foul trouble, having to go to the bench out of the rotation that Coach Jackson would like to use.
And that is something the Eagles do well, Bob, is they've been shooting free throws very well.
Steve, one thing we've watched here the last few weeks is opponents of Southern Miss pack the paint defensively, want to force Southern Miss to try to take long jump shots and three-point shots. Do you anticipate seeing that out of the Herd tonight?
Well, I would not be surprised at all by that because, again, like I said, they've been very talking a lot about the post play and that those guys are going to have to, you know, man up. They say, you know, Southern Miss is going to physically take it to you guys, and they've been challenging them to stand up for that. So, I would anticipate that Marshall comes in thinking that anticipating that Southern Miss is going to try to bully him a little bit inside and pound the ball in and take advantage of points in the paint. And then on the other end, of course, you have to figure that Southern Miss has been coaching their guys up a lot. You better get a hand in the face of those three-point shooters.
All right, I have to ask you this. In today's world, there are two returning players from last year's Southern Miss team. The entire roster, other than and there's one I think that's being redshirted, are new players. How many new players from last year on this Marshall team, and how many kids returned?
Well, the main cogs who are back in the starting lineup, you have two guys, Jalen Spear in the backcourt and Wyatt Fricks at forward. Both of those average right around 14 points a game. And then off the bench, Eric Harding, mentioned him already, the backup center, 6'10", didn't play a whole lot last year. People would remember Marshall had the veteran big guys last year, Obina Anacili-Killen and Nate Martin, and so Harding didn't get a whole lot of run because of the veterans ahead of him, but he's out on the court early in the games now. So those three are back, and other than that, you've got a couple of Canadian transfers. Noah Ochudi is the primary point guard, although you might have three guys who have ball handling skills on the floor together. Jalen Spear is actually off the ball more than he's on it, but he leads the conference in assists. And then you've got another Canadian, Wilson Dubinsky, a transfer from South Carolina State, who came off the bench for 23 points in Marshall's win at Arkansas State the other day. Talked about the depth, and that game was a perfect example, guys, because Dubinsky came off the bench with 23. Shamari Hughie, a junior college transfer, off the bench with 17. Marshall won at Arkansas State. The starter scored 24 points. The guys off the bench scored 46.
Well, the Canadian guys are where your snow's coming from, Steve. They're bringing that.
Yeah, blame them.
Yeah.
And they're loving it. They're out building snowmen and pegging people with snowballs.
Hey, look, just about a minute left. I want to switch gears real quickly while we have a few seconds left. New baseball stadium up at Marshall, really richly deserved. We just get the impression this Marshall team is one of the Sun Belt baseball programs up and coming. Fair?
I think so, and the poll came out. Marshall picked fourth, far and away the highest the Herd's been picked in many years in either Conference USA or now the Sun Belt, and it's based on pitching. Marshall returns all three of its weekend starters from last year and brings back the guy who was the Friday night starter 2 years ago, and it's through some weird NCAA rules, wasn't eligible last year, but it's back this year. So it's there should be more pitching depth than Marshall's ever had.
Yeah. Well, as you know, we kind of like baseball down here, so that's why I wanted
to. Yeah, and the people here are learning to enjoy it as well.
Well, good deal. Steve, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, man. We always enjoy our conversations, and hope we have a good ball game tonight.
All right, guys, looking forward to it. Thanks.
Steve Cotton, everybody, play-by-play voice of Marshall.
I hope they win every game they play except for this one tonight.
That's right. Yeah. All right, meanwhile, women host JMU here in town tonight. James Madison, what are they, 16-8 on the year, and 8-4 in the league.
Yeah, this is a big one for the women tonight because it's one thing to again, hold serve at home, but this isn't just any team in the league. This is one of the top teams in the league. So even though you're playing them at home, if you can beat James Madison, that's like picking up two on the field because they're going to beat just about everybody else that they play. Tip-off for both games, I think, are at 6 o'clock.
Still to come, Graydon Harris from Southern Miss Baseball, Kerry Green from Southern Miss Softball, and then Kelly and I will have plenty to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, everybody. Eagle Tire West sponsors the second segment of the Eagle Hour every day. It is a great place to buy premium Goodyear products. Full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company. They're on Highway 98 West. They've been family operated and owned since 1985. Eagle Tire and now Eagle Tire West. Big Southern Miss supporters, and we hope that you will support them, as we hope you will visit our good friends every week at MCS Home Center. That's where you find everything you need for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything for your project, home, lawn, or garden. They've got it at MCS Home Center in Bellevue, Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West. Sure, grateful to Hank Lott and his great, great family for their support of our show.
In fact, Hank has heard you guys just killing me on the air about my reading glasses. Mm-hmm. So they've got these glasses at MCS. They're called Peepers, Peepers mm-hmm. brands, mm-hmm. and they're reading glasses. He's going to bring me a pair.
Oh, not something else for
you. Yeah, some more free stuff. And and I'm going to try these Peepers glasses. He said you will swear by them. So I'm gonna try them and then I'll report back.
Ask for pink ones? That is your color, I know.
They're not color coded. It's just
they don't sell them
by the magnification. So I'm gonna.
Oh, okay.
I'll be their celebrity endorser or whatever you want to call it.
You just do have that fetish for pink, and I'm not criticizing you. I'm just pointing out facts.
That's really more of a copper color, Bob. If you look at it
today, yeah, I know. But I'm thinking back to the pink glasses, the pink short outfits in the summer. You know.
Well, I was colorized as a winter person. So I'm supposed to wear pastels.
Stop. Okay. Don't get us in trouble. Come on.
Okay. All right.
All right.
we're going to talk about some pitching today on the softball team, aren't we?
We are. Softball kids start Friday, and we think they're going to have a good year. You know, young team, but a much better schedule for these kids to face, and we're hoping for a good year. Of course, in fast pitch softball, as you well know, Kelly, pitchers dominate the game, no question. So our next guest, and I had misidentified the kid at the start of the show, a kid named Kayla Jardina, from Kinder, Louisiana, is a pitcher on this year's softball team, expected to make a big contribution. to the Lady Eagles softball group, and here was Kelly's conversation with that youngster.
Well, Kayla, they got a lot out of you last year. 122 innings pitched, way over the usual number that a pitcher would throw during the season. Obviously, they're counting on you again this season. Give me your mindset heading into 26.
I feel a lot more confident with this team this year. We put in a lot of hard practices, and we had 2 days this year, which I think really showed us like how to fight through adversity, especially in game, which we didn't have that opportunity last year. And I think as a team as a whole, we got really close and unified, and it's really going to help us produce on the field.
How have you evolved as a pitcher? Let's talk about your arsenal. What do you consider to be your best pitch? What are some things you're working on heading into the year?
My best pitch, I would definitely say, is my curve or my backdoor. Those are two of my most heavily relied pitches, and I also have been working a lot on my rise ball because I had it last year, but it definitely wasn't as strong as it is going into this year, and I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
I hear lots of times that some are called throwers and some are actually called pitchers.
Yeah.
That there's a difference.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Your definition of a thrower compared to a pitcher.
So I would say someone who just throws it is like someone who throws it hard but flat, but a pitcher can do both, and sometimes – or not sometimes, all the time, throwing to batters, your spin is a lot more efficient than speed. If you throw a ball that's spinning away from a batter, there's a lot less chance it's going to get hit if it's instead of being 70 up the middle. So.
Now, you're from the New Orleans area and did play. Tell us about some of the sports that you played as a child and maybe in junior high and high school, and why you then made the decision, I'm going softball all the way.
When I was younger, I played 3 sports. I played softball, basketball, and volleyball. Going into high school before that, I decided that I really wanted to play in college softball. So I dropped the other 2 sports. That way I can focus on just those, and I don't regret it at all.
But that couldn't have been easy because you were spending time doing those other things.
Yeah.
So what made you say softball is it?
My dad was definitely a big part of that. He played college baseball at Delgado in New Orleans, and he also went through the process, and he understood that. So it was also kind of having like someone else in my corner rooting for me in the sport.
Would that be the Delgado Dolphins?
Yes, sir.
How did I know that, right? I got to be pretty good, or at least been around for a long time. Confidence is everything.
Yes, sir.
On the mound. Take us through your mental approach before you take them out.
I definitely have a routine for every pitch. I get the pitch call, and then I'll get my rosin, and it's just kind of like my reset button. And then once I wipe it off, I lick my fingers to get a grip, which is weird, but it really helps me just like kick that reset button, give myself reminders. And then once I throw the pitch, if it's hit, I know my defense can handle it. And if not, like I have the confidence in myself that I can get this batter out no matter who it is.
All these preseason polls and stuff are purely for entertainment, right? But I don't think too many of you guys took too kindly to where what the expectations were of this team. But you also kind of smiled like that's the best thing somebody could have ever done was to project us to be second to last in the league. Tell me about that.
Being ranked 11, like, I'm not going to lie, like, yes, it was a smack in the face because we did so much better last year than what we were ever expected to be. So I think being ranked 11 really just lit that fuel in the fire to make that 11 turn into a 1.
Yeah, that sheepish grin that a lot of you had, like, we're going to prove people wrong.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm really excited to see it because we are genuinely so much better than last year, both offensively and defensively. And I think now with that 11, we all know we have something to prove to this conference.
How would you describe you as a pitcher now compared to last year? How are you different?
Definitely more experience. I think the experience that I went through last year, especially being heavily relied on, is really going to help me going into this year. Even now, since we have a deeper pitching staff too, because that's going to help me rely on other people when, if I'm having a bad day and can't get the job done, I have full confidence in the person behind me to do it for me.
And once your softball career is over, you're really not sure yet as to where the road might take you. Kind of fill in some blanks there for us.
I'm studying psychology, and I will get my doctorate eventually. And I also have a minor in criminal justice. And after I graduate, I plan to go into therapy. I'm just not sure what kind I want to do yet.
You're going to be the therapist.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, being in athletics can cause you to be on a couch every
oh, yeah.
get therapy.
The mental game is a big part of softball.
But you're going to be the one asking the questions.
Yes, sir.
Right. At the end of the day, when will it have been a successful season, in your view, both individually and from the team standpoint?
I mean, winning games is a definition of success. Proving people wrong when we can't, when they say we can't. And I think we definitely have the ability to do that this year. So I would say this is a successful season when we go from 11-1.
Well, even if it's not 122 innings, we'll enjoy.
Oh, yes.
We'll enjoy seeing you out there. Continued success.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
So much.
Thank you.
Kayla Jardina, everybody, from Kenner, Louisiana. The girls get started Friday, and I picked up on a couple of things in our coverage of softball here the last few days. Number one, they're young but talented, and two, a little ticked off about being finished to pick next to last.
Yeah, I think sometimes, particularly in the Deep South, where pageants and all the scholarship pageants and, you know, all those sorts of things are so popular, we sometimes don't give young women the credit for being as competitive as they are.
Let me tell you, they are.
And this group, they weren't real happy about being picked 11th, even though it's supposed to be for entertainment. But they're doing exactly what they should do. They're taking lemons and trying to make it into lemonade. And 122 innings really is a ridiculous amount of innings that she had to throw last year. But it was simply because they didn't have the depth pitching-wise that they do have this year. And I think that's one of the things that they think the prognosticators have missed, that this pitching staff will be a lot deeper, which gives a coach some more options.
Talk about pitching. Kelly, I was with Steve Knight, the legendary basketball coach at William Carey, recording a podcast this morning, and he was talking about his baseball career. And he said back in the day, 150 pitches in a baseball game was just not that unusual. That basically that Corky Palmer just let you pitch till your arm almost fell off.
And I think the reason was is obviously you don't have the technology and the science that you have now. Mm-hmm. And pitchers weren't throwing five or six different pitches like some of these guys are.
Here's an interesting point he made, and I want to get your observation about this. He said another reason that college kids could pitch more back then is because they hadn't grown up playing baseball 12 months a year. So they had more arm left by the time they get to college than a lot of college players do now, because so many play baseball tournaments from what, you know better than me, February through August.
And actually, Coach Knight and I are about this, he's a little bit older than me, but generally when we were kids, you didn't even start playing baseball in an organized fashion until you were 9
Correct.
Years old.
Right,
I mean, yeah, kids now are playing at 4 and 5.
And he said, and you played every sport. You played baseball, and then you moved on from baseball, and you played basketball, and then you moved on from that, and you ran track, or you whatever. And he seemed to think that was part of the reason. And yet another successful coach that does not think all this travel baseball is a good thing.
Now with pitchers, it's not, people will say it's not whether they're going to have Tommy John surgery.
Yeah,
it's when they're going to have Tommy
Johnson.
Why do
the parents not listen to the experts, Kelly, and back their kids off some of that?
What, these parents these days, Bob?
Yeah.
They know everything.
Apparently.
I don't know when that happened.
You ever met a college baseball coach that thought this was a good idea?
No.
No, not one.
Now, they don't make a big deal out of it.
Right.
But if you, they're not going to bring up the subject, but right, if you ask them, they will have a very clear view as to what they think should be done.
Steve's going to be on the show tomorrow. William Carey basketball is roaring again. They're roaring. They've lost 2 games all year. And it was pointed out to me today, and I didn't realize this, the winningest collegiate basketball coach in Mississippi history and the winningest collegiate baseball coach in the state of Mississippi history, guess where they coach?
Are both at William Carey.
Is that not crazy?
That's what happens when you stick with one guy a long time.
Eagle Hour continues. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, glad you are. This segment is sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street, baseball, softball training for kids. Sports training of any kind for adults. Great gift store as well. Pro Shop. Beautiful facility inside. It's really super nice. DBAT, Hardy Street. Lucky to have them here in the community. As we are Forest Healthcare, and they remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but don't ever forget about the most important player, you. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. All right, Kelly, some congratulations to a local guy here.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk to Graydon Harris here in just a minute, interview that you were able to do, Bob. But I wanted to give a shout-out today to Alex Ward, who's from the Oak Grove area, went to Oak Grove High School, was a quarterback there not long ago. But I got to have the opportunity to coach Alex with my mojo, one of my mojo baseball teams back in the day, and he was. It was announced that he was hired on the quality control staff of the Houston Texans. Yeah, of the NFL yesterday. Alex did some college coaching, graduate assistant work at Central Florida and other schools. He was at Troy. He's been on this program before, talking to us about Troy football when Southern Miss was going over there. But congratulations to Alex. Didn't go to Southern Miss, but again, it's a local kid that's had some really good things happen. We wish him the best of luck as he heads to the Houston Texans in the NFL.
All right, we've been covering softball. Baseball starts a week from Friday, 1 week later, and of course expectations are sky high. So I'm going to ask the old baseball coach here, a kid like Graydon Harris, who came on the scene last year as a freshman, pitched some, started some weekends, pitched really well for a freshman, now projected to be a weekend starter. How key is a kid like Graydon Harris going to be to the hopes of the baseball team this year, Kelly?
One of the worst things that can happen to a first-year player is to have the success that he had. Because, as you just mentioned, that bar gets set even higher. And we've all heard the term sophomore slump. And that is something that Eagle fans do not want to have happen to Graydon Harris. But then flipping that coin again, he hasn't really been talked a lot about in the offseason. Colby Allen has been the guy, right? He's been getting all the focus, as deservedly so. So there's a lot of pluses and some minuses that Graydon Harris is going to have to deal with going in now to his second season.
Well, Kelly was spending time with the softball team. I was over with the baseball guys, grabbed this interview with Graydon Harris. All right, Graydon Harris on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Graydon, watch a scrimmage today. You guys just shut the team down. How good is this pitching staff?
This pitching staff's amazing. I mean, probably one of the better staffs I've ever seen. And I feel like we're deep. And I feel like that should give us a lot of confidence going into the season, knowing there's a lot of guys in the bullpen and the starting rotation that can get the job done.
All right, you certainly had a good freshman year. What did you learn last year that you think is going to help you this season?
High school is a lot different than college, so freshman year was a lot of learning. I feel like one of the big things I learned is these hitters aren't going to give you anything. In high school, you could throw a bad pitch, come back with a heater right down the middle, and it's not going to be much. But college, they're going to make you pay for it. So I feel like last year I learned where, like, when to throw certain pitches and just how to control myself up there. If something's not going my way, know that I got it.
Yeah. Unusual for a freshman to step in and start on a program like this, but you did that last year. And all indications we have, you're going to be one of the weekend rotation guys. Your thoughts about the upcoming season, what goals have you set for yourself?
Just be confident in every outing. Every single outing I go out there, just trust myself, and got to let everything happen. So I'm trying not to put too much pressure on myself and just going out there and do what I do.
How much of it is physical and how much of it is mental?
I'd say there's a lot of physical in it. Keeping your body healthy throughout the season is a big portion of mine because, I mean, if you're not healthy, availability is the best ability. So I'd say physical, probably a good 30%, and I think when you're on that mound, 70% is mental. I mean, you got to know that you're in control up there, and the game doesn't play unless you're playing. So I think controlling the mental side is very important in pitching.
You ever have to take a deep breath and look around and say, man, I can't believe I'm here?
All the time. I mean, every single time I go out there on the mound, I just know it's special being here.
Yeah. What do you guys tell these young guys that come in here, where you were last year? They don't really, I don't think, fully understand what to expect at this point, do they? Mm-hmm.
They don't. I mean, season's coming around, but, you know, they're used to high school season coming around. It's a lot different in college. It's going to be a lot more fun. You just got to make sure they're excited for the season. That's the most important part. If you're not excited to play some baseball, then why are you out here? So I think we have a really good freshman class that's going to contribute a lot this season, and I'm excited to see what they can do.
We had a writer from D1 on our show this week, and he said clearly this team is going to be a contender for Omaha.
I agree. We're going to take it one game at a time, obviously, but I can really see this team making it really far.
All right, last couple of questions. The first month is a rugged schedule. Would you rather play that? Would you rather play perhaps easier teams that you pretty much figure you'll beat?
I like our schedule this year. I think have a good mix of really good teams and competitive teams, and I feel like that'll help us in the long run. Going into the later season is really when we need to fight, and I think the beginning of the season, playing these harder teams, it'll show us like what we need to perfect and stuff like that.
All right, how are you feeling right now? How excited are you about kicking this thing off?
I'm pumped up. I can't wait to get out there.
Well, we're glad you're here. You had a great freshman year. We think big things are going to happen for you this year, and we thank you, man.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
All right, great. Great Harris, everybody, and big expectations for this kid, and he's excited, clearly. But, you know, they're so young. Some of them are like this kid, Kelly. I don't think he's shaving yet.
Well, what sometimes you don't think about with pitchers, because they'll go, oh, well, those guys, the position players, oh, those guys, they only have to work one day out of the week, you know, one day, the easiest workouts and so on. But you don't realize the mental preparation that has to go into that. And in between every single pitch, I mean, you've got to make sure that your mechanics are right. You've got to make sure that your communication is right with whoever's calling the pitches. Lots of times now they have these speaker devices that can go inside your hat so that the pitching coach can actually will punch some buttons on a machine, for lack of a better term, and it will translate into like a robot voice into your hat, telling you what to. So you have to make sure that that's where it's supposed to be. Your body's where it's supposed to be. You have to know situational, how many outs there are, where are your runners, what are the tendencies of each of these hitters. Pitchers do a lot of work before the games that the position players don't necessarily have to do, right? Tendencies of these hitters that are coming up. So there is a lot of mental exhaustion that goes into pitching that a lot of people don't really realize. So when you say they only work every one day, every 4 or 5 days, true, but the mental exhaustion is almost more difficult to get over than the physical exhaustion.
How important is a specific catcher to a specific pitcher? In other words, a kid like Graydon Harris, does he have one catcher that he wants catching whenever he's throwing, or does that matter to a pitcher?
They might have somebody that they would rather have, but I don't know that they would ever. I don't know that they would ever say that to a coach. Now I remember back in the day, years ago. You remember Mark the Bird Fidrich would pitch, or Jack Morris for the Tigers, and Bruce Kim was their favorite catcher for whatever reason. And if it's kind of like baseball batters, they'll go, well, I have to have this certain bat. If I don't have, it's all in their head lots of times. But if that's what they truly believe makes them better, then you want to try to equip them with that. As ridiculous as you might think it is, the power of the human mind is strong. So I don't know that they would ever voice that they would want a particular catcher because they don't want to rock the boat. But in the major leagues, I know that does happen some.
And every team really, kind of like in football, ultimately, when it gets down to it, they're as good as their quarterback. Baseball teams are as good as their pitching staff is deep in talent.
And that's why, to follow up with what the softball team was saying, is that the pitching staff is deeper this year. So they have every reason to believe that they're going to be better, because at that position, they're stronger than they were last year. And they didn't deserve that 11th place ranking. The only, you know, I just really hope that the NCAA, when it's, and I'm cutting way to the end of the season, when they do make the selections, and I don't think the Eagles are going to have a problem, but when they do make these selections, they put their money where their mouth is and reward the teams that are putting on the schedule difficult teams. We talked about yesterday with Coastal Carolina, at no fault of their own, they don't have to play Troy or Southern Miss. Since they've known that, if Coastal was doing what they should be doing, they should be filling those gaps with really good teams that are going to help their RPI. If RPI is that important, then you must reward teams who play teams with a high RPI rating.
Interesting that Mark Etheridge from D1 said the other day that theoretically Coastal could win the league because of their schedule and have a lower RPI than Southern Miss or Troy.
Or any other, Marshall, for example, Marshall, depending on who you play. And it's at no fault of Coastal Carolina.
No.
I'm sure that the Shants would love to play Southern Miss and Troy. The people in the office in New Orleans said that's not going to happen.
Now you know, so we gut them like a fish if they can.
Well, of course. That goes without saying.
Hey, we're Coastal Carolina. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
I thank all our guests today, Steve Cotton from Marshall University, and enjoyed our visits, of course, with Graydon Harris and Kayla Jardina from Kenner, Louisiana. All right, want to remind you about Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour there on Highway 98 West, as are many of our sponsors. Their beautiful new showroom is exclusive to Mississippi, and their cars are absolutely fine. Genesis of Hattiesburg, Mo Bay Beignet Company, one of our favorite people is Morgan, that at 2902 Hardy Street, the daughter of the famous mayor of the Roost, we should point out, Jody Lott. Mo Bay Beignet Company, great place for a weekend dessert, and the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is always a great way to spend an hour on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. All right. Demon Bixon was at signing day today. I think he told us 67 new Golden Eagle football players. All right, Demon, give us the wrap-up from media day.
Yeah, I mean, it was really our first time hearing from Blake Anderson since the New Orleans Bowl. So, obviously, we hadn't heard from him for almost 2 months now. And so, really interesting to hear what he had to say. And he started out by talking about absolute chaos. He said that, you know, their alarms went off at 5 a.m. and they'd get done working at 11:45 p.m. and then they'd start back over during that 14-day period where, you know, it was just portal frenzy. And, you know, he talked a lot about he kept saying over and over again, completely new team. You know, of course, all the starters for the New Orleans Bowl gone, as we've documented. But really, when you kind of put down the numbers, really only about 20 players left from that from last year's team that they had to fill. And he said that about seven of them had, you would say, meaningful snaps, but, you know, barely even meaningful snaps, if that. So, you know, you're filling out an entirely new roster, and you're going to have to fill out, you know, 85 scholarship players, and then adding on to that with all your walk-ons. So it was a daunting task, and now that it's somewhat behind them, they're able to kind of see now what they have and head into spring football, which he said starts March 24th is the first spring practice.
Obviously, when you lose that many players, there wasn't a specific area that they went after the most, right? I mean, they had to get football players that play every position.
Correct, and that's, you know, he said that. He said, I wish I could tell you it was one area because that would have made it a lot easier, but it was legitimately everywhere. We had to go get 5-6 guys almost on every single spot, and, you know, that's really hard to do considering the budget that Southern Miss has, and how expensive players are nowadays, not just at the Power 4 level. You know, Anderson was talking about how, you know, anybody who plays on the outside, you know, you're paying seven figures for them at the Power 4 level. And then at the, you know, Group of 5 level, he said anybody who plays outside, you're barely not paying six figures. So it's crazy. It's ridiculous. And he said it's, you know, there's nothing they can do about it. He said it's uncontrolled chaos. And he said the only thing we can do is try to find our competitive edge. And we feel like we've got it with this roster he brings.
All right. So, Dima, with the talent that he's just put in the cupboard, is there any? Did he mention anything about particular aspects of the team that are still of concern?
Not of concern. Like I said, I think part of it is, like, he really doesn't know what he has either. You know,
okay.
He's got all these new players. You know, he knows their talents, but until he kind of said it, you know, until I see them with the football in their hands on our field, you know, it's different. He did talk about potentially some attrition after the spring practice window, which was interesting because, you know, they can't have anybody because the portal would be closed. But he did talk about Ethan Hampton from Illinois and pointed to his experience being a huge reason why they went after him. He said a quarterback who has playing experience was of the utmost importance, but did say that Landry Liddy and John White would both compete for the job as well. And he talked about the running back room that they added a couple of JUCO players from and felt really good about that room. But he said, you know, as we all know, it starts up front with the offensive line, and, you know, they had to add about 8 or 9 offensive linemen. But, I mean, you only have one guy back from last year's offensive line, and Broderick Roman, who did start a couple of games, and then Luke Rogers, who was the left guard, and he started a couple of games last season. So outside of those two players, everybody else is gone on the offensive line. So they're having to piece together a whole new offensive line. But not only when you think about just starters, they also have to piece together the depth behind them, right? So that's why I think what people sometimes forget is, like, you think of the five guys, but you also have to find 5 other guys, you know, that's behind them. No. You know, it was an incredible task. And now that they have this roster in, you know, they can kind of work with it and, you know, piece it and, you know, do everything they want to do with it in the spring practice window, which is what they're going to try to do.
If you guys that ever wanted to coach college football thought it was exhausting before.
Man, this must be terrible. All right, Demon, man, thanks for the update. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Demon Mixon, everybody, at the press conference today about the signings. All right, we're on the road tomorrow. We're going to go visit our really good buddy, Dakota Baker, the greatest baseball player in the history of Purvis.
The Dakota Baker.
The Dakota Baker at Ramey Motor Company. We've always enjoyed going there. It's been our first visit there in the new year. Looking forward to it. We hope you'll join us. Steve Light's going to join us tomorrow, and we'll have some other good stuff for you as well. Thanks, as always, for listening, everybody. We do really appreciate you. Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.